Nicholas Weiss.
Alex Kurtzberg.
How are you?
I'm well.
Good, good, good. Thank you for doing this for a fifth time. Yes?
Yes.
I appreciate it. I know our audience appreciates it. We've gotten good feedback. And it is true what we suspected. People are interested in this topic. So let's dive in a little further. But to recap, right, in the Mind Your Cannabis series, there is one episode focused on employers, one on dispensaries, one on ancillary businesses, one on hemp producers or sellers, I guess.
Yeah, we talked a lot about it, and we'll probably talk about that in a future series as well, because we've got some new regulations have just come out on the federal level as well, and Ohio's regs just got adopted as well. So we'll probably be updating that
good
one.
A future episode is the processors. Today, though, we are talking about cultivators.
That's right.
Let's start off with what's a cultivator?
Sure. A cultivator is the person growing the cannabis. And so this is your farmer who has gotten into the business. This is your industrialist who has decided to try their hand at farming and getting into the cannabis business. But this is where it all starts. This is the start of the chain.
So is a cultivator, if I want to grow cannabis in my backyard, am I a cultivator?
You're an illegal cultivator.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about it.
Yes.
Reminder to remove those plants from my backyard.
It's oregano.
So let's use that. What rules and regulations apply to make me a legal versus an illegal cultivator?
Sure. In Ohio, everything that you need to know about being a cultivator is set through the Ohio Department of Commerce and their administrative guidelines, which are incredibly detailed, incredibly precise, incredibly specific. But the tricky part and the everything part of this is complying with that administrative code through Ohio's Medical Marijuana Control Program, which that's your Bible, that whole section and series there.
So, okay. So in order to grow cannabis legally, that's where I need to look. Give me some of the highlights. What are some of the things that I should be aware of if I'm going to follow the law?
Sure. So the number one thing that you're going to have to be aware of, and that a lot of people are less comfortable with, is the level of scrutiny that you're going to undergo, and all of your investors are going to undergo, and all of your partners are going to undergo, and anyone with any kind of ownership interest. You will have to disclose in your initial applications your not only your past business history, but a lot of your past personal history and your credit. And think of it as if it were going to be an incredibly invasive venture capitalist. That's a good way to think about it. You're going to show them metaphorically your underwear on this.
Hmm.
And that can be... that can dissuade a lot of people who want to get into this area, particularly on the cultivating.
Is a prior criminal record a bar right off the bat?
There are a lot of convictions that, if you have them in your background, will be a bar. You will not be able to get your license. There are a bunch where they don't care, and that's all set out by statute as well. It's all set out by the administrative code. And if you are unsure whether you qualify or not, the Medical Marijuana Control Program actually has a form that you can submit to say, hey, I'm not sure if this past issue is going to bar my license application. Can you tell me before I spend $18,000 on an application?
Is that what it costs?
Yeah. It's for... a level one cultivator, and that's up to 25,000 square feet, that is a $20,000 application. A level two cultivator is 3,000 square feet, so that's slightly less, and that's only $2,000. But it only goes up from there.
Yeah. So, okay, I need to submit an application. I need to make sure that my background is sufficiently clear. I need to pay some amount of money as a fee. Once I'm approved, what are the high level, most important compliance requirements that I'm going to have to follow?
So probably the one that jumps out the most is the seed to sale program. That's set up through the administrative code and that you will have already incorporated, hopefully, into your business model and your business plan when you do that. From the moment that you get that first cannabis seed, you're going to have to track what happens to it very, very closely. Hmm. How it's grown, as soon as it becomes over 12 inches in total plant height, you're going to have to comply with really rigorous labeling requirements on where is that seed going? Where is that plant going?
Am I allotted a certain amount of seeds and I have to account for each seed that I plant?
Well, here's actually where it gets interesting. There is no actual tracking system for the seeds themselves, and there wasn't at the beginning of all of this. So once you have the seeds, you have to track them and everything, but how you get them is actually not set up by regulation. And so Ohio, the same way that a lot of states did this, did a kind of don't ask, don't tell for that first round of growing, because there was no legal way to purchase seeds at the beginning of this, but suddenly everyone had the seeds that they used to start their grow operation. Now everyone grows their own seeds with their plants and can just reuse them and do it that way.
And so when you say you have to account for what happens with the seed up to, what did you say, until it gets to the store?
That's right. Yeah. And you're selling to one of two places. You're either selling to what's called a processor, and they're someone who's going to take your raw plant material and they're going to turn it into something else. They're going to turn it into a tincture. They're going to turn it into an edible. They're going to turn it into an oil. Or if you are one of the cultivators that is just loose leaf biomass, you'll be selling that to a dispensary, and you're going to have to track all of those sales, all of that, all of those transfers, and report those to the Department of Commerce for everything that you're doing.
So we talked about tracking, licensing. Before we get off that topic, any other high level, super important requirements that I should be aware of if I'm going to be a cultivator?
Sure. Not only are you going to have to comply with all of this stuff, but you're going to have Department of Agriculture regulations and Food and Drug Administration regulations that you're going to comply with. So if you thought, and you know, I said at the beginning of this is your Bible, this is what you've got to do, but that's not the only thing. You are growing a consumable substance. You're a farmer. And so in addition to all of these other regulations that you've got through the Ohio Administrative Code, you've got all of these other regulations that, as if you were growing apples or any other food stuff that's going to be consumed by the public. In addition to that, the big one is, and we talked about this for dispensaries as well, is security. If you are a farmer and you are getting into the cultivation game for cannabis, you are likely not going to be as prepared for the level of security that you are going to require to grow cannabis. You're only going to be able to have certain employees who can monitor the cannabis. You're going to have surveillance equipment. You're going to have checkpoints. You're going to have security personnel. So it's not like popping up an apple orchard. You are growing an illicit substance, and the administrative code really treats you like you're growing an illicit substance.
Nick, consequences for screwing up.
So this can vary. The most extreme for the civil consequences is that they take your license. If you are not following these, more commonly, more likely, you're going to get fines, and you're going to get substantial fines. And these fines can compound on each other up to $50,000 per violation. If we go outside of that, you know, true doomsaying on this, you're still a drug dealer. Mm. So if you're not complying with Ohio's regulations And all of this is on a civil level. You could potentially be liable on a criminal level as well for violating any of this, for selling cannabis outside of this lawful scheme. And so there are a couple of federal regulations. There's a budget resolution that essentially says, federal government, you can't enforce any kind of cannabis prohibition on anyone who's lawfully complying with state-level marijuana schemes. Well, if you're not complying with a state-level marijuana scheme, you're open game for any kind of federal enforcement.
So we're talking about prison.
Yes, that's exactly what we're talking about.
So I'm a cultivator, and I want to protect myself. The first thing that comes to my mind as a lawyer is, Mr. Cultivator, call a lawyer.
Yes.
Call Nick Weiss. But what else am I doing as a cultivator short of calling Nick Weiss to protect myself?
Sure. And so I will say this. Most cultivators have compliance officers that they use. You should always consult with an attorney. You can call me. You can call someone else. But a lot of people have a full-time position that is just for this kind of stuff, making sure that the cultivator is in compliance with all of these regulations. But other than that, you've got to be conducting regular and systemic audits of your systems. And I'm not just talking about your security or your seed to sell, and you should be doing that as well. But you are going to be subject to a lot of the same kind of risks that any other business is going to be a part of. And, you know, a lot of the guys who are getting into this, who were farmers or in agricultural or what have you, may be familiar with this, may not be familiar with this. But in my discussions, especially with the guys in the insurance industry who are covering this, where a lot of marijuana companies are falling down, are not necessarily in complying with these regulations. They're doing an okay job of it. But they're not keeping employee records. They're not keeping their records of payment. They're not doing regular safety audits. You know, the stuff that a normal business needs to be doing in order to keep itself out of court. So, you know, you thought you were done, and, you know, I kind of improperly told you you were done just by complying with the administrative code. But you've got all the other same kind of issues that any other business owner is going to be dealing with. And if you're not conducting regular audits on those, you're going to get hit sideways on the stuff you didn't even know about.
Yeah, I don't think you said you'll be done by complying.
I don't want that to even be implied.
I do appreciate the clarity. So, all right. I think that I'm good. I'm a cultivator. I think that I'm good on the law. I've talked to Nick. I've got a compliance officer. Now all I need is funding.
Well, yeah, and that's huge, especially if you're doing the larger grow operation, so a tier one, level one cultivator, where you've got that $25,000. Not only do you have that upfront cost, but you've got a $180,000certificate of operation fee, and then a $200,000 renewal fee on top of that. You're going to have to prove that you've got $750,000 available to you, either in an escrow or a surety bond. And you are not going to be able to, by and large, get loans from a bank. You're not going to be able to get grants. You're not going to be able to get first-time agricultural funding because everything that you're doing is illegal under federal law.
So where am I getting money?
You got to get it from private. You've got to get it from private venture capital or, you know, individuals or entities that you know that are willing to invest in you. And even though people are getting pretty great returns right now, it's still significantly risky. There were a lot of applications for cultivators, for processors, for dispensaries that didn't go anywhere. And especially in Ohio, when all of that is limited, there's a lot of money that was thrown at this that had zero return.
They didn't go anywhere because there was a problem with the application or because they were...
Yeah, it doesn't even need to be a problem. It just wasn't as good as the other guys. So for cultivators, we've got 24 cultivators in the whole state of Ohio. And that's it. That's the amount that the Department of Commerce is legally allowed to give out. Now, you know, they're going to be opening that up and allowing for more cultivators in the future. But for that first round, if you weren't part of that 24, that was a lot of lost money.
Yeah. Nick, where can I go if I'm a cultivator or thinking about becoming a cultivator when they open up more license opportunities in terms of resources or groups that are available to me?
Sure. So I always, well, contact us, contact a lawyer, we'll put you in touch with people. But I always shout out to the Ohio Cannabis and Hemp Chamber of Commerce. They're a fantastic resource that can put you in touch with a lot of the groups and organizations that you're going to need, particularly the consultants on some of this. If you want a consultant, that's another place. CannaRev is a group here in Ohio that's had some good results. There are other just basic marketing groups. So if you happen to be a woman who is interested in going into this, Midwest Canna Women, who's one of our clients, is a really great organization that can put you in touch with the other groups and the other resources that you might need to get up and running. You know, there are going to be a ton of places you can go. I'd recommend those as a starting point. But this is only getting bigger. We've got new actors coming in. My intention is to put a list of this and other organizations for any other listeners on the podcast, so you can go through them and you can get some better information than the little 30-second blurb here.
Awesome. Nick, anything else we left out that you'd want to get out there?
The only thing I'd say is right now, application period is closed. That doesn't mean you can't get into the game. You can, if you want to, you could purchase a cultivator right now. Most of them have been up and running longer than a year, which is the requirement for the Department of Commerce.
To transfer the license?
To transfer the license over. It is not as easy as just buying a business, though. You have to go through the exact same application process that the first guys went through in order to get that license transferred. So until that next round of applications opens up, that's it for you if you want to be a cultivator in Ohio. And unless you want to just be investing, you got to look to buy someone.
Do we know when they're looking to open up the pool anymore?
We don't. We don't have that information.
Anything else, Nick?
That's it. That's what I got.
Good stuff. Folks, if it wasn't clear let me say that over again. Folks, consult with your own attorney, okay? Nothing that you heard in this podcast was intended to be anything more than information. So rely on an attorney that you hire. We're happy to help, should you need us. Thanks, Nick, for your time. This was really helpful. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Alex.
These 10-minute legal talks are brought to you by the Gertzberg Law Firm, changing the character of the attorney-client relationship in business from a cost center to a trusted advisor. Drawing from their complex litigation and transactional experiences as members of large law firms, in-house counsel, and as business owners themselves, the Gertzberg Law Firm's award-winning attorneys provide clients the benefit of business lawyers with real-life business experience in a wide variety of industries. These talks are not intended to create an attorney-client relationship or to provide legal advice. If you have questions about your particular legal situation, you should contact a legal professional. To reach one of our business law or estate planning attorneys, visit www.gertzberglaw.com or call us at 440-571-7777.